Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. Our program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Every day, we bring you news and information about America and the world. This is what you will hear on our program. You will hear a story from Ashley Thompson. Next is the education report about foreign teachers in China. Then, listen for our National Park series on Gettysburg National Military Park. But first, this report. Taiwan plans to increase its military spending in an effort to meet threats from mainland China. The military budget is expected to reach $13.1 billion next year. Taiwan's Central News Agency said the proposed budget includes an increase of 5.2% for defense. The island's parliament must first approve the spending increase. A defense ministry spokesman said Sunday that the military will raise its spending next year for sustaining personnel and making military investments. China's government considers Taiwan a rebel territory. Chinese officials have threatened to use force if needed to regain control of the island. Taiwan has been a self-ruling area since the end of China's civil war in 1949. A government study in January found that most Taiwanese like their system of government more than the idea of Chinese rule. The website globalfirepower.com reports that China's military has about 2.2 million active duty members compared to Taiwan's 215,000. The People's Liberation Army operates 714 military ships and 3,187 aircraft, while Taiwan's military has 87 ships and 837 aircraft. China raised its military spending by 7.5% this year, while Taiwan proposed an estimated 5.6% increase for 2019. Since Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen took office in 2016, discussions between the two sides have slowed to a halt. Tsai disputes the mainland's condition for talks, namely, that each side consider itself part of China. China has periodically sent warships, including aircraft carriers, into waters around Taiwan. Tsai has supported more development of Taiwan-made weaponry, including jet aircraft and submarines. Taiwan's Central News Agency reported that a bigger defense budget will help the island's long-term program to get modern weapons from foreign countries. The United States is Taiwan's main arms supplier. The government of U.S. President Donald Trump has approved 4 arms sales to Taiwan since 2017. All have been made with disapproval by China. On Sunday, the Trump administration sent to Congress a proposal to sell new F-16 fighter planes to Taiwan for $8 billion. The deal would be the largest arms sale to Taiwan in 20 years, notes Huang Kuebo. He is with National Zhengzhi University in Taipei. But Taiwan will need to find ways to pay for the new jets. Last month, the Trump administration approved a separate $2.2 billion arms sale involving tanks to the island. Andrew Yang heads the Chinese Council of Advanced Policy Studies in Taiwan. He said the $8 billion is a lot of money and will require changes to the government's spending plan. It's a huge payment, actually. I don't know if we can support it, he said. However, he said, Taiwan's jets need an upgrade. It's actually a good choice, and it's been 20 years already in the works. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
New research suggests that human beings may have been partly responsible for the disappearance of cave bears thousands of years ago. The plant-loving animals once lived across Europe. Some experts had believed that the cooling climate during Earth's ice age was to blame for their extinction. Scientists reported last week they had studied genetic data from 59 cave bears. Their bones were recovered from 6 countries: France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Serbia, Spain, and Switzerland. From the genetic information, the scientists noted a decrease in the cave bear population beginning about 50,000 years ago. That is around the time of the arrival of Homo sapiens, or modern humans, in Eastern Europe. The researchers said they observed a sharp drop in the bears' numbers about 40,000 years ago. That coincides with the spread of Homo sapiens throughout Europe. The animals went extinct about 20,000 years ago. The cave bear lived in Ice Age Europe at the same time as other now extinct creatures, such as the cave lion, woolly mammoth, and woolly rhinoceros. The bear was as big as a modern polar bear, but ate only plants. It appears often in prehistoric cave paintings. There has been a scientific debate about what led to the extinction of the cave bear. Some scientists believe that the cooling climate greatly reduced the availability of the plants they needed for food. Others have blamed human activity, including hunting and taking over the caves where the bears gave birth and slept during winter. The population decrease identified in the study began before the climate cooling connected with the most recent ice age, says Verena Schunemann. She is a paleogeneticist at the University of Zurich in Switzerland. The bear's population remained largely unchanged for long periods before that, including during 2 noticeably cold periods and other cooling events, she added. Homo sapiens appeared in Africa more than 300,000 years ago and later moved to other areas. The study offered new evidence that the arrival of Homo sapiens led to ruin for many kinds of animals across Eurasia, the Americas, and Australia. Hervé Boucheron is with the University of Tübingen in Germany. He said, "There is more and more evidence that modern humans have played a determinant role in the decline and extinction of large mammals once they spread around the planet." Boucheron noted that Homo sapiens started moving out of Africa about 50,000 years ago. Before their arrival in Europe, the bear's population had remained strong, even while it shared its territory with another human species, the Neanderthals. Neanderthals also went extinct after Homo sapiens arrived in Eurasia. A report on the study appears in the publication Scientific Reports. I'm Ashley Thompson.
Reports from China say arrests of foreign teachers across the country are up sharply this year. That information comes from lawyers, schools, and teachers. They also report a jump in foreign teachers forced to leave the country. Chinese deportations of foreign teachers have increased this year. The lawyers, schools, and teachers say the arrests and deportations are part of a larger campaign. They say it combines new police measures with the government's push for a cleaner, more patriotic education system. Four law offices say requests for representation involving foreign teachers rose in the past 6 months by between 4 and 10 times the normal number. The four spoke with the Reuters news agency. Teachers and school officials confirmed that arrests and temporary detentions for minor crimes had become more common.
Switzerland-based Education First, or EF, operates 300 schools in 50 cities across China. EF reportedly has noted a significant increase in detentions in China for suspected crimes, including drugs, fighting, and cybersecurity violations. This claim comes from a June 27th notice sent to employees and seen by Reuters. The notice said that EF workers had been picked up by police at their home and work, as well as in bars and nightclubs, and have been questioned and brought in for drug testing. It added that the school had received warnings from embassies about the rise in arrests. A spokesperson for EF refused to comment on details of the notices, but said the company values its close ties with Chinese officials. An international school in Beijing and a teaching agency in Shanghai separately confirmed to Reuters that arrests had risen sharply.
"There is a lot of pressure for them to keep things clean," said Peter Pong, a lawyer at the IPO Pong Sheng Pu law firm in Shanghai, which represents foreign teachers. "It's all part of President Xi Jinping's idea to make sure that China can show a good face for the rest of the world," he said. Reuters reported last week that Chinese government agencies failed to answer its requests for comment. China had about 400,000 foreign citizens working in its education industry in 2017, the last year for which official numbers are available. They are employed in schools, colleges, and language centers.
Last September, China launched a wide-reaching campaign to remove foreign influences from education. It includes efforts to ban foreign history classes, make self-taught material illegal, and change textbooks to center on Communist Party ideology. The Chinese effort is designed to support patriotism and core socialist values, and show a love for the motherland, the education ministry said at the time. Many of the cases involving foreign teachers are linked to new and better drug testing measures, including ones that confined drug use over a longer time. Lawyers said there have been surprise inspections at teachers' homes and workplaces.
Three former teachers from two schools in Beijing and Shanghai were detained for 10 to 30 days before being deported this year. The former teachers said that Chinese officials drug-tested teachers more than once within weeks of arrival and carried out extensive questioning. One of the three said urine tests showed no evidence of drugs, but another test found the drug cannabis in his hair. The teacher, an American, denies using drugs in China. Hair tests can identify cannabis for up to 90 days. This means that teachers who come from countries where the drug is legal can be arrested and deported even if they do not use the drug in China.
Dan Harris is the Seattle-based managing partner of the law office Harris Bricken. It noted a sharp rise in case requests involving foreign teachers beginning earlier this year. What has changed is that many government officials think that kicking out Western influences like English teachers is doing the party's work, and the schools are taking advantage of it, he said. Harris now advises foreigners against teaching in China. The risks of going to China to teach far outweigh the rewards. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Ann Ball.
Today, we visit a national park that marks one of the most important events in American history. We are exploring the Gettysburg National Military Park in the small town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Much of the area around Gettysburg still looks like it did in the 1860s, during the Civil War. The town is in the middle of farm country. All around are fields of wheat, corn, and other crops. Cows chew on grass under a warm morning sun. Roads that pass through Gettysburg lead to Baltimore, Washington, and other big cities. But years ago, they served another purpose. The roads brought two opposing armies to Gettysburg. One was the United States Army of the Potomac, commanded by General George Gordon Meade. The other was the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia, led by General Robert E. Lee. His troops had moved north into Pennsylvania from Virginia. There, they had won a series of battles. Now, they were on the move to defeat Meade's army. Lee believed that a southern victory on northern land would force a negotiated settlement of the war. This would mean independence for the Confederate states that were attempting to leave the Union.
The Battle of Gettysburg began on July 1, 1863. More than 170,000 soldiers fought for 3 days. It was the largest battle ever fought in North America. When it ended on July 3rd, more than 50,000 soldiers were dead, wounded, or missing. Many more would die later from their wounds. In the end, General Lee's army lost the battle. The Civil War, though, continued for 2 more years. But Confederate hopes for independence were never again as high as they had been at Gettysburg. Soon after the Great Battle, people began to visit Gettysburg to try to understand what happened there. One of those visitors, on November 19, 1863, was President Abraham Lincoln. He was invited to help dedicate a ceremony for Union soldiers killed in the battle. Lincoln spoke for just 2 minutes. His speech began this way.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
President Lincoln had never been satisfied with the reality of American life at that time. The Declaration of Independence in 1776 had declared all men equal. Yet in the South, and earlier in the North as well, black men and women were held as slaves. In his address at Gettysburg, Lincoln described a new future for a nation that would be reunited.
It is for us the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work for which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom.
Gettysburg National Military Park was established in 1895, 32 years after the deadly battle. Gettysburg is the most visited of the Civil War battlefields. Every year, about 2 million people visit the park from around the country and the world. The battlefield covers more than 2,400 hectares. Visitors can find more than 1,300 outdoor sculptures around the battlefield. These are monuments and memorials placed by soldiers' groups and state militias in areas where their troops fought. Volunteer guides explain to visitors what happened in each area of the huge battlefield. Visitors can also tour the battlefields on their own, by foot, by car, or by bicycle. Many visitors start their visit to Gettysburg at the Gettysburg Museum of the Civil War. The museum has the world's largest collection of Civil War objects. The museum has more than 1 million items, from soldiers' private notebooks and uniforms to original maps of the battlefield.
The museum also houses the Gettysburg Cyclorama painting. This kind of artwork surrounds the people looking at it. The painting shows the final attack in the Battle of Gettysburg, Pickett's charge. George Pickett was a Confederate general. On July 3, 1863, he led a charge against stronger Union forces. It was a disaster for the Confederate soldiers. French artist Paul Philippoteau and a team of 20 artists created the painting in the 1880s. Philippoteau and his team visited the battlefield. It took more than 1 year for the huge painting to be completed. The cyclorama is 114 meters long and almost 13 meters tall. It has long been one of the most popular parts of the Gettysburg experience. But by the 1990s, the painting was in poor condition. Experts warned that if the cyclorama was not repaired, the painting could be lost. A restoration project began in 2003. The painting was cleaned and separated into its 14 parts, and later moved into the new center. There, the original canvas was sewn onto new cloth made in China. Park Service officials say China was one of the few countries able to produce cloth in the sizes needed. Then each part was hung and sewn together. A team of cyclorama experts from Poland worked on the project in Gettysburg. The repair work of the Gettysburg Cyclorama marked one of the largest art conservation efforts ever in North America.
After the museum, tourists can visit the Soldiers' National Cemetery, where many of the Union soldiers who died during the Battle of Gettysburg are buried. The cemetery was dedicated on November 19, 1863, the same day President Lincoln gave his Gettysburg Address. Since 1865, the cemetery has been a burial ground for soldiers from all of America's wars. Gettysburg brings history to life during the summer and fall with its living historians. These actors and experts show visitors what life was like for a soldier here in one of the most historically important places in America. The words of America's 16th president from the Gettysburg battlefield have never been forgotten. Historians agree that Lincoln's Gettysburg Address defined Americans as a people who believed in freedom, democracy, and equality. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program from the Voice of America.